Amen. That was wonderful. Amen. Acapella and everything. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 65. Let me say this, if you're visiting with us for the very first time, we do appreciate you visiting with us. If you're here for the second, third, fourth, or infinity time, we're so glad to have you here today. But if it is your first time visiting today, I wonder if you would take out that little information card that's in front of you and fill that out, and then as you leave, you can just drop it off here in the offering plate. I failed to make mention of that during the announcement period. We surely would appreciate that to have a record of your visit. Isaiah 65. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. But there is a myth among Christians and among non-Christians that's been around for a very long time, and let me just say this, for far too long. And the myth is that the Old Testament portrays a God who is angry and a God who's full of wrath, and it's a God who's a God of judgment. He's a fist-pounding kind of God. And it's only in the New Testament that we begin to see a God of love and a God of compassion and a God of mercy. I've even heard people say this down through the years since I've been saved. They tell me, Pastor Dave, I can believe in the God of the New Testament. It's a God of love, of compassion, and mercy, but I can't believe in the God of the Old Testament who's a God of anger and a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And as they say that, it's as if they're two different deities. There's one God over here who judges and one God over here who's a God of love. There's a God over here who has compassion and a God over here who has wrath. Listen, it's the same God. He has anger and wrath and judgment, and he has love and he has compassion and he has mercy. And when a person makes a statement similar to that, he's really admitting that his own lack of knowledge of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of stories, it's full of parables, it's full of prophecies and even promises that reveal God's nature to all of us, and all of God's nature, including both judgment, wrath, and also love and mercy. The Old Testament The Old Testament was all that their early Christians had. And those 39 books revealed them to God, that God was a God of wrath and judgment. But he also is a God of mercy and goodness, and a God who's eager, get this now, to restore his people. And from the beginning to the end, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, the Old Testament promises us a Messiah who's going to make all that is wrong will be right. And then he'll bring priests to the planet, and he'll restore all those who have had broken, all things that have been broken by sin and by rebellion. And this is the God of the Old Testament that tells us about a God who takes things that are broken, mends them, puts them back together again. And this morning, I want to bring to you this message that I've entitled, The God of Restoration, The God of Restoration. Let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. Isaiah 65, beginning verse 17, down through verse number 25. Isaiah 65, beginning verse 17. The Bible says, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the trees are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be like the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Oh God, I do pray, Father, you help us in this passage of Scripture. Father, help us to understand that you are a God of restoration. So, Father, I do pray that you would speak to the heart of that one that's here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh God, I pray that their eyes will be open today. I pray, Father, that the stiff hardness of their heart and their neck would be loose, Father. They might have complete understanding of the Word of God this morning, that they might be saved. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here as well. Oh, Father, I pray as we would look at our life today, we would have to understand that one day we're going to be completely restored or completely renewed. Oh, Father, may we look forward to that day. And, Father, may we understand that while we know that the complete restoration will not take place till we have our new glorified body, but, Father, you're still working in our life on a daily basis. Father, we pray for the other ministries going on that you might watch over them. Give them fruit for their labors and us here as well. Save that one which is lost, Father. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter number 65 shows us three areas of our lives that I believe God promises to bring restoration. As you look at this passage of Scripture, of course we know that literally it's talking about the time after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ with the city of New Jerusalem. But I believe as well he's also referring to the work of the Messiah. He's referring to the work of Jesus Christ, his work on earth and his work for salvation in our lives and how it applies to us today. And that's where I want us to go this morning as we think about this thought, that God of restoration. Notice, first of all, that God wants to restore your broken past. He wants to restore your broken past. I think the greatest obstacle to happiness and peace today is that many people face is not the present. It's not even the future, the things to come, but it is their past. And millions of people live miserable lives because they are haunted by something that they did years ago deep in their dark past. Maybe it was something that they did that haunts them. Maybe it was something that they didn't do but should have that haunts them. Maybe it was something that personally happened to them or personally happened to their family. Whatever it may be, the past has the power to destroy our lives in the present if we allow it to do so. Maybe it was the broken past of hurtful words that were spoken years ago or decades ago to you. And every time that you think about it, it brings new pain every time you remember that. Maybe it's the pain of a broken marriage because people can't get over the past or you can't get over your past. You can't move on into the future. One Sunday evening, lady came to the altar to pray and she was broken down with tears. And as I knelt down and began to pray with her, I asked her what was the matter. And she told me this is the reason why she was sobbing there at the altar. She said, "Pastor, to be quite honest with you, before I got married, I was promiscuous. And now my daughter is 16 years old, and I feel I have no right to tell her to be good because I wasn't good. And every time I tried to talk to her, I remember myself at her age, and I can't say anything to her." And I told her, "Listen, first of all, that is wrong thinking. You have every right to tell your daughter how to live her life because you're her mother, you're her parent, and you weren't saved at that time. You didn't really know any better, but now that you do." And I said, "Besides that, God has forgiven you for your past, and now you can move forward and not allow your daughter to go through the same things that you went through." You see, this lady's broken past still had some control over her life, but only had control because she allowed it to have control over her life. You know, God promises to break the power of our past and bring us restoration. In verse 16 of our text, in the last half of that verse, the Bible says this, "The former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes." Verse 17 says this, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Now I know in the context of speaking about the former earth and the former life, but I believe as a way of application for you and I today, we can say the same thing. When God restores, he said, "The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." When you read the letters of Peter, it's pretty obvious that Peter wrote with great confidence. I might even say this, not only did he write with confidence, but he also wrote with great authority. Now don't forget that this is the same man who denied Jesus Christ on three different times. And Peter was the same disciple who was always putting his foot in his mouth. And these people that Peter was writing to know and understood who Peter was and what he did and didn't do for the Lord. Think about it. That'd be you and I. Wouldn't you and I be embarrassed to write some of the things that Peter wrote about with great boldness? I wonder if you think that Peter should have been ashamed of the things of his mistakes. How can he write with such authority? How can he write with such confidence after what he did to the Lord? And I say this, the reason that Peter was able to make such a great comeback is because the Lord Jesus Christ restored Peter's broken past. And that restoration came from forgiveness, as Peter asked to be forgiven, and of course the Lord forgave him. Peter made mistakes. We even might say he made some big mistakes, and God restored him. You know, but not only Peter. If it was just one example, that would be good, but God shows us many examples of people who have been restored. I think about the Apostle Paul. Did he not have a past? You say, oh yes, Pastor, he had a past. You're right, he had a past. He persecuted Christians, and he hunted them down, and he killed them, and allowed them to be killed. But yet, guess what? God restored him on the Damascus Road. Think about David. Did David not have a past? And he even had a past after he was as we would say today, after he was saved and born again, he had a past. He committed murder, committed adultery, but guess what? God restored him, and he used him. Think about Moses. Did Moses have a past? Oh, he had a past with God, all right. But guess what? God restored him, continued to use him, even though the consequences of a sin allowed him not to go into the promised land. Think about a lady by the name of Rahab. Did Rahab have a past? Oh, yes, Pastor. She had a past. The Bible basically says that she was a harlot, a prostitute. She had a past, but yet God restored her and God used her. I think about Mary Magdalene. She had a past as well, a past that was not pleasing to the Lord. But guess what? God restored her and God did use her. And I could go on and on because the Bible is full of stories and full of passages of scriptures whose broken past have been restored by the power of God in their life. Listen, folks, that's what God does. He changes lives and he restores lives. There's been people have come to me and said, Pastor Dave, I made a terrible mistake and now I'm going to have to live with that memory for all the rest of my life. And that might just be true. But listen, we have to live with the consequences, but we don't have to live with the guilt and shame and the bitterness and the pain of that mistake that we made. Isaiah in verse number 19, here in our text scripture, in the last part of verse number 19, it says, and the voice of weeping shall be heard no more. Listen, if God forgives you and he restores you, you might have to live with the consequences of the sin, but you don't have to live in guilt or shame or bitterness or pain any longer because God has restored you. God not only will restore your broken past, and I'm thankful that he does do that, but I think something else in this passage is that God will restore, and that might be your broken dreams, your broken dreams. There was a young man by the name of Jack, and he showed tremendous potential as a minister and a preacher and a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from the very first moment that he received Christ as his personal savior as a teenager, it just seemed that Jack had been used by God in some very dynamic way. He wasn't the type that was going to be elected most likely to succeed in his high school. He didn't even come from a good family or a family that had a lot of money. Jack wasn't even popular in high school. He wasn't even athletic looking or very good looking, just an average kind of guy. But Jack was very effective in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He led literally hundreds of people to the Lord before his 21st birthday. He personally discipled many of those new Christians. He helped people grow spiritually. He was a good public speaker. He had strong organizational skills. And he showed potential for a great ministry for the Lord in days and years to come. But one day when Jack was just 21 years old. He began to have a little bit of pain in his chest. And he went to the doctor and complained about it. The doctor said, "We need to admit you in the hospital and run a few tests." Within 3 days after he was admitted into the hospital, Jack died. It seemed pretty impossible, but it was true. Jack was dead. You see, Jack's death represented a multitude of broken dreams. His broken dreams for the ministry, his broken dreams for preaching the gospel, his broken dreams of his church and the church's pastor, his mother and his father's broken dreams. There was so much that he had hoped to accomplish in this life, but now those dreams and the dreams of his family and the dreams of his loved ones would be gone forever with the death of their wonderful son. But listen to the words of the scripture. God makes this promise in verse number 20 of our text. "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. No one, according to the Bible, will die before his time." You see, death causes us to experience the pain of unbroken dreams. But God can restore our hope. He can restore our dream. As a matter of fact, he promises that death is not the end of life. It's the beginning of life for those who know Christ as their personal Savior. And broken dreams are not caused by an untimely death, but also by an unfulfilled life. A life that God offers us and hopes that we would partake of and serve him and love him and do as he pleased to do. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat." You know, when I read these words, I think of the thousands upon thousands of slaves who spent their whole lives living in poverty, building the wealth of others, and they never had the opportunity to enjoy the fruit and the labor of their own hands. You know, many lives today are characterized by shattered hopes and broken dreams, and only God can restore them. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot restore them. They're only restored by a God who loves you and cares for you and died for you on the cross of Calvary. Maybe your dreams have been broken by a death in your family. Or maybe they've been broken by life because of the world that we live in. I want you to understand God can and will, if it's his will, bring restoration to your life. And that's what he does. He takes things that are broken and he puts them back together again. God wants to restore your broken past, no matter what it is. God wants to restore your broken dreams. But then notice thirdly, God wants to restore your broken relationships. First of all, I think of family harmony. You know, the traditional family is under attack, and you don't have to been born very long to figure out that the family is under attack. Recently, I read this statistic that in the 50s, more than 80% of all U.S. households were made up of married couples. Today, or several years ago, according to this survey, the figure is only about 50%. In the 50s, about 80% of American children were born out of wedlock. Today, get this now, that figure is that 34% of all the children born are born out of wedlock. Also today, the divorce rate is about twice as much as it was in the 1950s. The traditional family, as we could look at it in America, practically is becoming a thing of the past. And many children are born into situations where, from a sociological standpoint, they don't have a chance. When you look at the wealth of their parents and opportunities their parents have and or don't have, we find that we can look at them, we could say, they don't have a chance in this lifetime. Maybe it's because of the economics. Maybe it's because of drugs or perhaps abuse. Or maybe it's because of lack of education. They can't go to the best schools and the good schools in the area. And because of that, they're destined to live miserable lives with their parents and suffer all their days. Families, more than ever before, have a tendency to drift apart. And God help us. But you know, the truth is, it doesn't have to be that way. Families don't have to drift apart. God has the power to restore family relationships. And this story came out recently about a young man who had grown up in an abusive home and had been taken away from his mother at the age of 10. And the story goes like this. He later discovered that he had two older brothers who died in their infancy. And he wanted to give them a proper Christian burial and began the process of relocating the graves. He made a startling discovery. He stumbled across evidence that their abusive mother actually had murdered his brothers. And the story focused on how this man participated in bringing his mother to justice, and she ended up going to jail for the murder of his two brothers. But they missed, the news media missed the real miracle in this story. The real miracle was simply this. They failed to acknowledge the fact that this man had committed his life to Jesus Christ. He had gotten saved, become born again, and he'd been able to break the chain of child abuse in his family. And he was a loving, caring father to his children and provided them for them in a way that his own parents never could provide for him and his two brothers that had died. We see God has the power to break negative patterns that we inherit from our families. So you might use the excuse, well, my dad did it that way, and now I'm that way. My mom was an alcoholic, now I'm an alcoholic. Listen, that might be true, but the truth of the matter is God can break negative family patterns in your life. Look at verse 23 in Isaiah. It says, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." God has the power to break and restore those things that need to be broken and restored in your life. Well, God wants to restore family relationships in this area of family harmony. But then something else in verses 23 and verse 24, we find that he wants to deal with this area of spiritual harmony. Notice what it says in the last part of verse 23 and verse 24. "For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, and before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." This is the promise that the gap that exists between God and man will be bridged, and broken relationships will be restored. Ever since the days of Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we've been separated from God. Not only by Adam's sin, we can blame him if you want, and that is true, but also by our own sin as well. And God promised in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thy seed and on thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And we find that God is telling us that this relationship would someday be restored. And this was accomplished when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians 2 in verses 12 and verses 13. "That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." You see, God promises our relationship with him can be one of peace and one of fellowship, one of blessing, one of joy, and one of love. Unfortunately, these are not the words that many people use to describe their relationship with God. It ought to be, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Too many people view their relationship with God as a source of guilt and a source of judgment and a source of unrealistic expectations in their life. Understand this morning that everyone has experienced a broken relationship with God, according to Romans 3 and verse number 23. But God offers us restoration through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He offers us peace. He offers us love. Paul said this in Romans 5 in verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How do we have peace with God? How are we restored to God? Only through Jesus Christ. By repenting of our sin, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. There is no other avenue. There is no other road. There is no other highway to heaven. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to have that peace restored, through Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, I never heard preaching like that this morning, Pastor Dave." Well, it's about time that you did, amen. I'm sorry that you never have. But the truth is still the truth. We live in a fallen world, and we're victims of that fall back in the garden. And as a result, many of us live lives of brokenness. We live with a broken past. We experience broken dreams, whether by death or other means of life. And we have to oftentimes endure broken relationships, sometimes in our family, sometimes in our marriage. And it may be that way for you right now, but listen, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to remain that way. God has made an offer to you today, right now, an offer of restoration. Think about it. That's what He does. He restores us. That's what He does. He makes things that are broken and puts them back together again. Boy, thank God He takes things that are broken and puts them back together again. Our relationship can be restored by putting our faith back in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that has to take place. And then by having and living a vibrant relationship with Him, we find that we can truly see that you'll make a choice that God is a God of restoration. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. Oh God, we thank You for this powerful passage, Father, that's literally written speaking about the time after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But then, Father, how it also truly applies to us today. And Father, if that old world's going to be restored, Father, by You, God, we can look at our lives and think that every time a sinner is saved, how they are restored and brought back into fellowship with You. God, there's some that are here today that are living with a broken past. God, untold terrible things have happened to them. Father, maybe it's by their own free will choice, or maybe it's by the choice of others. But nonetheless, Father, it's a terrible and a broken past. God, I want them to know if they're here this morning and they're like that, they can be restored today. That Jesus Christ came in the world to die on the cross. Father, they might have a restored relationship with those people. Oh, Father, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that they might today, Father, understand that their relationship with God was broken in the Garden of Eden. And Father, only by putting their trust in what Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary can it be restored. And then again, Father, do we only have the true resource that can heal and restore broken dreams. Father, maybe there's some that are here today enduring broken relationships. Maybe some are broken by death. Maybe some are broken by choices. Maybe some are broken, Father, not by their choice, but by the bad choices of other people. Oh, Father, I want You to let everyone know here today that it doesn't have to be that way. They don't have to live that way. That You're a God of restoration. And God, if they would get their heart restored with You, Father, You would give them ability to bear it and do what's right, Father, to help restore the relationships with others. So, Father, would You have Your will and way during this time of invitation? Speak to the hearts of Your people, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed. What about you this morning? Do you need to come? Maybe you're here and you say, I have a broken past. Hey, God can heal that. God can forgive you. Doesn't matter what it was, whether you think it was something big or something small, He can restore. Maybe you're experiencing some broken dreams. Maybe your life's not going the way that you thought it was, or wished it was, or hoped it was. Come and fall at the feet of the Savior. He can restore broken dreams. Maybe you have some broken relationships in your life. Would you come? Speak to the Heavenly Father. He wants to talk to you about those broken relationships. He wants to restore them. Just as it's promised in Isaiah chapter number 65, it'll be restored in your life if you'll turn to Him, trust Him. Would you be willing to do that? While these are praying, there's still time for you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you like to be saved today? We'd love to be able to take the Bible and show you how that you can restore that broken relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I've been saved. I've been saved a long time ago, and I know for sure that if I were to die, I'd be in heaven. But quite honest with you, my fellowship with Him is not where it ought to be because of sin in my life. Maybe you'd like to come and let us pray with you. And you can pray and ask God to restore that fellowship as you get forgiveness of sin in your life. It's God's desire that you be restored. But you have to be willing to come, humble yourself, and ask Him. If no one else comes, we'll close at the end of this. The choice is yours. We make the right one.